Support for the Morning Show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information at carthage.edu/grad. Support also comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. We are ending the week in very fun fashion today by welcoming into our studios the executive directors of both the Kenosha Literacy Council and Racine Literacy Council. If you've been listening carefully to Morning Edition this week, you have heard some public service announcements put together by a group called Pro Literacy, which have primarily tried to mention the stories of several different adult learners, adults who have had their lives transformed or hope to have their lives transformed by becoming more fully literate. The stories of Elena and Moses and Sarah, and they are just the tip of the iceberg in terms of adults living in the United States who, for one reason or another, find themselves partly and maybe to some extent even sort of completely illiterate, at least in terms of being fully functioning citizens, able to access what we think of as the American dream. And it can make all the difference in the world if someone can become more literate. But those avenues often can be largely inaccessible. One of the sobering realities of this need is that often there are long waiting lists and other barriers that come sometimes can be all but crippling for a person who wants to seek out this kind of help. Fortunately, both Kenosha and Racine are blessed to have right in their midst vibrant literacy councils that do all kinds of great work in the community. And I'm really glad that we can take the time to highlight this work today. My thanks to Marcia Conant, a former colleague here at WGTD who helped facilitate this visit today. First of all, from Stephen Musenden,
That's correct.
Who is the executive director of the Racine Literacy Council, and Cheryl Hernandez, executive director of the Kenosha Literacy Council. It is great to have both of you here.
Good morning, Greg. Nice to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you for having us this morning.
Glad to have you here. We did this a few years back. I know it was back in the days of your predecessor, Cheryl, Mary Jane Landry, for many, 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 many years, the director of the Kenosha Literacy Council. And I don't remember at the time who was her counterpart in Racine, but we had the two of them in the studio at the same time.
Kay Greger.
Was it Kay at the time, maybe?
Kay, I believe. Could be.
Kind of trading back and forth about the way in which each literacy council functioned. And, of course, the bedrock mission was exactly the same, but, of course, the specifics a little bit different in how they offered what they did to the community. And I'm glad we can have this opportunity once again. And I can tell that the two of you already know each other and I'm assuming have actually quite a cooperative relationship with one another. How well actually do you know each other? How much time have you had to know each other and know of each other's work?
Well, initially I met Cheryl. She came to Kay Greger's final farewell. They had a little party for her at the Racine Literacy Council, and she came and introduced herself. And and then we have a lot of events and conferences that we go to, and I see her on a regular basis. And so we keep in touch.
Very good. So this is a cordial relationship, less than one of competitors, obviously.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we do some joint programming, so we try and do some trainings and things for our volunteers, especially together, so that when Racine has a training opportunity for their tutors, I know our volunteers are always invited, and when we do something for our volunteers, their volunteers are always invited. So it's a great way for us to collaborate a little bit.
So happy to see that. When I first moved to the area back in 1986, so 30 years ago, I suppose I'm just sharing anecdotal stories here, but my sense was that the cooperation between lots of different counterpart agencies in Racine and Kenosha was rather limited. And just in general, there was a sense of real competitiveness and sort of emotional separation between Kenosha and Racine. One of the most interesting things in the time I've lived here is how much those barriers have fallen. There are a lot of people like me who, for instance, live in Racine but work in Kenosha, or live in Kenosha and work in Racine, or one spouse works in the one and one in the other. And for many of us, our lives prevent us from thinking of these two cities as on different planets. But once upon a time, I really think that mindset was there, and it was only certain agencies who had this spirit of cooperation between them that, you know, was sort of the beginning of that. And I suspect the two literacy councils maybe for a long time have been doing it the right way, and it's nice to see this friendly relationship still here. Let's find out from each of you. Let's start with Cheryl, because Steve is very, very new on the job. Cheryl, your own connection with the Kenosha Literacy Council goes back quite a long ways, at least by comparison to Steve. But before you tell us how you hooked up with them, ahead of you beginning at the Kenosha Literacy Council, was this an issue that was of personal interest to you?
Absolutely. So my background is in education, and I was new to Kenosha and looking for volunteer opportunities, and that's how I was introduced to the Literacy Council and adult literacy in general. I became a volunteer and taught a beginning English class, and then there was an opening for a program director position, and I was encouraged to apply, and I really didn't have any plans to do that. I didn't have any plans to work in adult literacy, but it happened, and I fell in love with the position and with the Literacy Council and the amazing work that we do, and so it's just been a journey since then.
Terrific. And it sounds like they're very fond of you, because here you are all these years later. Yes, absolutely. Steve, you are just on the job 7 months with the Racine Literacy Council.
That is correct.
We had you on not long after you started. I mean, right. That must have been like days after you began, maybe.
Like a month or so afterwards, yeah. It was fairly soon.
Right. Where were you before that? And
I was actually working at Aurora. I was a trainer for their Epic software. I trained a lot of the physicians and nurses on Epic software, upgrading their technology and computer systems and things of that nature. But prior to that, and I still, for a lot of my time, I work with the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce. I'm actually the president of that organization. Oh. And, you know, between the Racine Literacy Council, which is, it seems like 7 days a week, and then some other time with the chamber, what I found is, and what made me gravitate towards literacy is the commonality of entrepreneurship and education. Mm. As I find that entrepreneurs are going out, it seemed like a common denominator was that there was a lack of education. And so what would be another way to give back to the community is and help further the, you know, piece with the chamber than to go into an education component. Mm. And that's literacy. And you find sometimes that people have the greatest business plans and maybe the greatest businesses, but they don't have the acumen or the education to get further in their careers.
I wanted to ask you, in terms of that concern, if you were talking about entrepreneurs who go out in the community and can't find people of sufficient literacy levels to be their employees, you're not talking about that. Or, I mean, not that, I mean, I'm sure that's an issue too, but you're talking about the entrepreneurs themselves who might have a great idea, but need skills in order to implement those ideas.
Right. They may, for instance, have the best restaurant, but then they don't have the skills for the business acumen as far as putting together a business plan, things of that nature, or have the educational background. And a lot of times there are gaps. Hmm. And it goes back to literacy and education.
Right. This might be a really good moment for us to take apart this term literacy, because I think for most of us, when we hear that word, we think of it in its, I suppose, sort of purest sense or simplest sense, that being literate or literacy refers to whether or not you can read. I mean, whether or not you can read books. Can you read a story? Over the years, I've come to realize that, at least to some extent, your agencies think about literacy in a little more comprehensive fashion. What do you mean when you talk about literacy?
Absolutely. So literacy to us is all of the ways that we communicate in our lives. So it might be reading and writing. It definitely is speaking and listening for those that are learning English as another language. But it's also math, it's also computers, it's also health. How do we communicate when we go out into the community? Are we understanding the information that we receive from the doctor? Are we able to send an email or check our child's grades online? So it's many, many different things.
All kinds of sort of functioning tools. And then, Steve, what you were saying is for a young entrepreneur, we can think of all kinds of ways in which they just might not be able to function at all in some of the most basic nuts and bolts that are part of keeping a business running.
I think the just similar to what Cheryl just said, the understanding and terminology of literacy has changed as you move into the 21st century. It's computer literacy, it's financial literacy, and it's also health literacy. And one of the things that we've done at the Racine Literacy Council is incorporate that into our lesson plan so we can teach the students, you know, those components. And it's real difficult because sometimes they're just really not engaged enough sometimes to say, okay, this is something that we need, but they go into a job opportunity and they don't have computer skills. Or they go to the bank and don't have the financial components. So it's part of the makeup now. When you say literacy, it's all-encompassing right now.
Hmm. So let's find out a little bit about the basic sorts of things that each of your agencies offer. And, of course, there's going to be some overlap, of course, in the two organizations. But I think it makes sense to kind of spell things out very clearly. So, Cheryl, let's talk first about the Kenosha Literacy Council. If we were to open up a brochure or go onto your website, what would we see listed as the kind of things that you offer to people in the community?
Sure. Many different opportunities to meet the needs of many different types of learners who have very, very busy schedules. So we have a one-on-one tutoring program where volunteer tutors are trained and then matched with students, and they go out in the community and they develop their own schedule and own lesson plans and meet on a one-on-one basis. So that's kind of the traditional literacy council model. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a drop-in tutoring program that happens at the literacy council 4 days a week. And in that program, all of the students have individualized lesson plans created for them based on their goals and their skill levels. And they work one-on-one or in small groups with volunteer tutors at that opportunity. And then we also have a variety of different small group classes that work on skills. So we have a citizenship class that helps immigrants prepare for the citizenship process. We have a civics class, which we like to refer to as English in the community. So it's a great opportunity for our English language learners to not only practice their English skills, but learn how to be more involved, active members of our community. So they learn about how the public school system works here, banking and finance, healthcare, how the local government works, and it's very interactive. So they're always going on field trips and meeting with guest speakers and things so that it's very hands-on and they're developing some leadership skills so they can be more involved in the community. We also have a literacy at work program where our adult learners are working on their computer skills so that they can get jobs, so they're learning about online job searches and resumes. We know that the vast majority of jobs now require those online skills. So you have to apply for the job online. 95% of jobs have to be applied for online and require a resume. So it's a huge shift in how we have traditionally done things. To be a cashier at Pick and Save, you have to apply for the job online. So folks that wouldn't normally have the skills to do that now need to have those skills, and so that class helps with that. So just many different programs to meet the needs of our students.
Very good. And again, that's the Kenosha Literacy Council, and Cheryl Hernandez is their executive director. Steve Musendin, the executive director of the Racine Literacy Council. I'm sure you're about to echo a lot of what Cheryl had to say.
Yeah, it's very similar. We still have the same type of drop-in setup, and it's a one-on-one tutoring situation. We have volunteer tutors that come in and tutor one-on-one with the students and learners. We also have what's been really working for us in our STEPS program, which is the Student Tutor Entry Program. We have group settings, and the group setting seems to be more enriching for the students because they feel this need for having classmates and being able to bounce questions and answers, and you know, you have that camaraderie in class. And I think we are starting to promote more group settings in those programs to make sure the students have that self-esteem that they need and that confidence level building that they need in order to progress.
So let me just understand. So this would be a setting of tutoring, but it would feel more like a class situation. So it wouldn't be just one-on-one, but a number of presumably adult learners.
Based on the need of the learner, we do still have the one-on-one, traditional one-on-one, but then we try to gravitate more if they're up to being in a group setting. And that works more because there have been some instances where groups wanted to move in unison because they're so used to their classmates that they can we move in the group, or they ask for additional classes together, which is beneficial.
Wow.
We have our basic literacy courses, helping low-level literacy people come on board and work with reading, writing, math, pre-GED. We also have our English language learners, which helps them to speak, write English, as well as having conversational classes so they can speak and feel comfortable speaking. And we also have literature that we hand out to them that they can read and take home on a regular basis. We have our citizenship classes similar to KLC. And then also we have driver's ed. We have a driver's ed class, and we help them pass their driver's ed licensure and also CDL licensure.
So there's quite a wide range of offerings with both of you, and in a little bit we'll talk about the huge army of volunteers that are required, of course, to make all this happen. Let's talk about the population which you serve, because I think this is probably an area in which a lot of people make some very simplistic assumptions about who needs the Literacy Council. And I think probably people just for simplicity's sake like to paint with a really broad brush. In fact, I suspect that there are a whole lot of different reasons why somebody finds themselves, in a sense, illiterate. And I wonder, how complicated does it make your task then to serve them? If you have, in some cases, somebody who is here from another country and English is a brand new language to them versus somebody who just didn't work hard in school and now suddenly realizes they should have been working harder on these things they need to learn versus somebody who might have impairment, who might lack, in a sense, maybe basic intelligence or have crippling learning disabilities. I mean, talk for a moment about the complexity of the wide array of reasons why somebody finds themselves in a situation of need, and how do you end up addressing that then?
I think one of the challenges right now is we have, we serve, some of our students come from, last count I think was 25 different countries. Over the long haul that we've actually had through the doors of our Racine Literacy Council. But we have a large population of people in the white community, and we have a large population in the Hispanic community, and we have a large population in African-American. But the breakdown, and I think the problem is that being able to reach those individuals in those areas, I think there's a level of people coming to our organization, and once they come through the doors, it's already acknowledged the fact that they have a problem, and they don't want other people to know that they have a problem.
Right.
With the Hispanic community, it's a twofold problem. They're trying to learn English as well as bolster their skills. So they come in as, there's a need. But how do we get the other individuals through our doors without having them feel that, people are looking at them? And I think one of the ways to address that we're really looking at the Racine Literacy Council is having satellite offices throughout Racine County. And we're starting to look into that so people will have opportunities outside of just coming to the Racine Literacy Council per se. It could be at a church. It could be at a civic center. Other community, venues that they can come in where it's just not listed as, the Literacy Council. It's kind of like a camouflage.
Right. They might presumably come there for something entirely different, or one would not assume by walking through the door, oh, that's somebody who's illiterate.
Right.
They might be there for any number of different reasons, but they would actually seek you out.
Yeah. And then we also have our challenge with learning disabilities. Even though we're not able to diagnose, our staff has worked with individuals that can pretty much help them along in their cause. They have the experience. They have the educational experience. They kind of work with them one-on-one. And most of the time, those are the individuals that we work with one-on-one, you know, long-term. Mm.
Cheryl, what's your thoughts on sort of the wide array of reasons why somebody finds themselves illiterate and how that complicates your mission of helping them?
Sure. So at the Literacy Council, we serve about 600 adult learners a year. And about 80% of them are learning English as another language. And last year, they represented 40 different countries. And so I think that's something that always surprises folks in the community. They don't realize that Kenosha is that diverse, that we have people from all of those different countries living in our community. And personally, to me, that's one of the most amazing parts of my job is going in and meeting these people from all over the world. But then the other 20% of adult learners are American-born, English-speaking folks who just didn't do well in school, didn't finish school, and now are coming back to learn those basic skills. And I think when I first came to the Literacy Council, that was the thing that impacted me the most. Growing up in Kenosha, Wisconsin, I always assumed that everybody had the same opportunities as I did. Everyone had the ability to go to school and learn. And if you didn't, right, if you dropped out of school, that was your choice. It was something that you chose. But I've met so many people from all over the country who grew up in other parts of the country that they really didn't have the opportunity. Their family needed them to go to work early. There was something that prevented them from continuing school. And I think that that was the thing that really impacted me, is that we have this whole group of American-born English-speaking folks who just didn't have the opportunity to finish school.
Or that opportunity, in a sense, got taken away from them, mm-hmm. either exactly. by their family or maybe something fairly catastrophic.
An illness or a family situation. Or they just didn't like school. They had a teacher that just they didn't connect with and had a very negative school experience. And we have a great example. One of our students, his name is Carl Sanders. He owns a local business here in Kenosha, and he successfully ran that business for many years without basic reading and writing skills. He came to us reading at a third grade level is generous. And he was introduced to Rotary and became a part of Rotary as a way to help his business. And then within Rotary, they asked him to take on this leadership position. And he thought, well, I can't do that because people are going to figure out I don't know how to read. I have to go up in front of the group and read these things, and I can't do that. And so he was brave enough to confide in somebody in Rotary and say, I can't read. And that person connected him with the Literacy Council, and his life absolutely changed. the day he walked in and said, I read a book, was pretty amazing. That was the first time a grown man in his 50s saying, this is the first book I've ever read. And he was able to improve his reading skills, get his HSED, and is enrolled in programs here at the Technical College.
Wow. So that's quite a story. Mm-hmm. Quite a story. How often is there an issue where, let's say, somebody just didn't work hard in school? I mean, they were more interested in having fun. I mean, you know, there's no law against that. But of course, you know, I mean, sometimes it's entirely because of poor choices. It's not some sort of external factor that sort of drives you out of school and into the workplace prematurely. Sometimes it's just young people make bad choices, and one of the choices sends them just right off the path of being well-educated, and then they sort of only figure out way down the road what that means. What about those kind of learners in terms of understanding what it takes to become literate, in terms of what it means to work hard and focus and all of those things that maybe they've never in a sort of a organized setting ever been good at? What kind of a challenge is that for you in working with somebody like that?
I think one of the great things about the Literacy Council is we have so many students who come to us and say, for the first time, this is where I felt successful. So I feel like when somebody drops out of school, when somebody makes that choice, there was always a reason for it. There was always a background. So maybe there wasn't support for education at home. Maybe they had a negative experience with a teacher or several teachers that led them to just, I can't do this. I'm not smart enough. I don't need this. I'm just going to go to work, or I'm going to go do something else. I don't need school. And so when they can come to the Literacy Council and work one-on-one or work in those small groups, they have the opportunity for the first time to feel successful. And I think that just opens up a whole new world for them. And a lot of times they're, you know, kicking themselves and why didn't I just finish school the first time around?
Right.
Because it's so much more difficult now. But we can help them and provide that support. And so I think that's a great thing.
So it sounds like you're saying that when somebody gets to the point where they come to you and want your help, they're ready.
They've made that decision and right. they're in a positive place and they want to work forward and meet their goals.
So the whole matter of working hard is almost always a given. I mean, they are anxious enough to make this happen.
One of the great things about working with adults, they come to school and they love it. So we're not fighting with them to want to learn.
Is that your experience too?
What I find is I like to take a different approach. I think all too often we don't acknowledge what an individual's skill sets are. And so when they come in, it's, okay, what are your goals? I mean, you're here for a reason. Tell us why you're here and what are your goals? And then how can we add to those goals? For me personally, I was a learner I was a visual learner. Well, the school system sometimes is not set up where people can learn visually. And so those individuals get left behind. And so how can we address this? Because what I find is everyone is good at something, but we have to find out what that is. And so during that process, we find out what that person is good at and what they can excel at and what they like doing. And so that takes kind of the chore out of learning. Mm. And so when you take the chore out of learning, it's more, you know, like Cheryl said, they're ready, willing, and they're able, and they come in and they want to get things done, and they can't get it done fast enough. So it's basically the assessment of that individual and the goals that they want to have set up. And then being able to have the resources at the Receiving Literacy Council to, okay, we've done our job. Who can we pass the baton to get them to that next level?
Mm. We're speaking with Stephen Musenden, who's Executive Director of the Racine Literacy Council, and Cheryl Hernandez, Executive Director of the Kenosha Literacy Council. And all this week, there have been special announcements on Wisconsin Public Radio and other radio stations, for that matter, sponsored by Pro Literacy, to help us think about the matter of adult literacy and the importance of having all kinds of resources available for adults who, for one reason or another, find themselves in really desperate need of gaining more full, complete literacy. Let's talk for a moment about kind of the core, the core function of both of your agencies, which is this one-on-one tutoring, although we've, I think, already made clear that there are all kinds of other things that go on. In terms of the one-on-one tutoring, how does that happen for a given person in need of building their skills? Whom do they work with, on what sort of timetable, and so on? Cheryl, let's find out how it happens at Kenosha.
Absolutely. So all of our students come to the Literacy Council and they go through a registration and orientation process where we're able to assess them and talk with them about what their goals are and make a learning plan that meets their needs and is specific to them. And then we take into account their schedule and things and match them with a volunteer tutor. And then they and that person choose a day and time. Maybe they choose Tuesdays at 7 p.m. to meet at a public place in the community. So they might go and meet at the Southwest branch of the library and meet every week. And then the tutor is responsible for reporting back to us. Actually, at the Literacy Council, that is a small part of our programming. So that traditional one-on-one tutoring is a small part of our programming. But what we do in drop-in tutoring is very similar to that, where the students are working one-on-one or in small groups of two or three, especially for students who are learning English. It's important to have that group atmosphere for them to have the opportunity to practice conversation skills. But it's the same idea. They develop learning plans that are specific to each student, and they come when they're able to work on those learning plans. And we find that flexibility is really important for our adult learners. So drop-in tutoring happens 4 days a week at the Literacy Council. The students choose their own schedule. They could come one day a week. They could come 4 days a week. It's dependent on the time that they have available. And it's flexible with their schedule. So if they have rotating work schedules, so 1 week they have Monday off, the next week they have Thursday off, they can come when they're available. If you know, a month they're working 12 hours a day overtime, and they can't come, then they come back when they have time again. So it's really important to recognize that we're working with adults that have very busy lives outside of the Literacy Council, and how can we help them to continue to learn even though they have all of those outside responsibilities.
That's a good point. Steve, does that sound like
it's
largely
exactly
what happens?
It's exactly the same. We do a registration process. They come in, they're assessed. We basically find out what their schedules are and what level they're at. And then we assign tutors based on their need and the goals that they have set. Then the program coordinator just provides them with a lesson plan based on their needs, works with the tutor, and make sure there's some we'd like to see consistent progress. Sometimes there are challenges with, you know, certain learners and students, but we want to make sure that they're progressing at a very slow rate if needed, or if we find that there's some acceleration that could be done, we provide them with that as well. So mm-hmm. I mean, it's very similar to Kenosha Literacy mm-hmm. Council.
I'm trying to understand, is one-on-one tutoring what needs to happen when someone is in sort of an especially serious deficit? I mean, do they need that one-on-one tutoring then?
Absolutely. Sometimes those students with learning disabilities, sometimes students that just have had a really negative school experience, being in a group environment is very intimidating for them. So
probably brings back bad memories.
Yes. So being able to connect with one person is a really important part of them beginning to make progress. But what we've also found is, especially for the students that are learning English, it's important for them to create kind of that family atmosphere. And so one of the things that's really great about drop-in tutoring and the Racine Literacy Council STEP program is very similar. Is that they're able to have that one-on-one tutoring, but also be in a group so that they make some connections and begin to feel like they're part of the organization and part of a family. We have the students say that so much. The Literacy Council is like my family away from home, because then they feel dependent on each other, right, to support each other and motivate each other. And it's really important, an important part of their success, and it keeps them coming to class. And I also think it's important because they have the opportunity to work with a variety of different volunteers. So even though they're working one-on-one or one with a couple of students, they work with a different tutor each time they come. And so they're able to benefit from the different strengths of our volunteers.
Interesting. Is that how it works in Racine, too, that it's a different tutor each time?
Well, we try to make it consistent. Sometimes based on the availability of the tutor, we like to say it's the same tutor. But depending on the number of tutors that show up on a given day, or if the person's a drop-in and they change their schedule, but we have someone else available that can fill in, one of the reasons why we have a documented lesson plan, so you can just look at the plan and say, okay, this is where I'm going to pick it up from. And so people know where that individual is and where that student is, so anyone could come in at any given time and just really pick up from where that other individual left mm-hmm. off, in case some of the tutors' schedules have changed as well.
Right, right. Is there a sort of formal stepwise process by which you sort of advance from here to here to here to here to here, and at some point you're past the point where you require this, or where you need the one-on-one tutoring? I mean, do you end up with a certificate at the end that says you're literate now? I mean, where does this, in a sense, is there a tangible goal to which you're working, and is there some sort of tangible way to know that you've achieved or reached that particular goal?
And at Racine Literacy Council, there's a continual progression depending on when the student comes in, the level they come in. If they come in low level, we try to progress them from a particular grade to the next level grade to the next level grade. And then hopefully at some point in time, that individual will, if they want to be college bound, can go into a GED program, Gateway GED program, things of that nature. But we also have certain milestones and accolades that are provided to the student to let them know they've acquired this certain level so they can feel an accomplishment. Every year we have our Life Voyages program that we have, and it's an event, and it gives the accolades to the students for their progression. And a lot of times they come in and they attend and they have poems and tell their story and in front of the students. It's basically the students. So they feel that everyone has a sense of accomplishment. And, you know, just making sure that they have that confidence to get up and say that this is what I've accomplished is very beneficial.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that. How about Kenosha? Is there similarly kind of a hierarchy which people climb in a sense?
Yes, absolutely. So when students come, as I mentioned before, they develop goals and we start working with them right from the start. We want them to know that the Literacy Council is the stepping stone to something else. So we don't want them to be at the Literacy Council forever. It's a wonderful place. We love all of our students, but you're going to move on from this at some point. And so we start talking about that right from the beginning. What is your goal and how can we get you to that goal as quickly as possible? And so we work very closely with the Technical College to help the students enroll in both programs at the Literacy Council and at Gateway. So many of our English language learners are also in the ELL program here at Gateway. Many of our going to be GED students are also involved in the programs at Gateway. And we have an adult literacy advocate position at the Literacy Council, and it's that person's responsibility to help students transition into other programs. So it might be finding employment, it might be transitioning into programs at Gateway Technical College. So again, we want our students to always be thinking ahead and moving forward, and how can we get you to that goal as quickly as possible.
We need to talk about the tutors who play such an instrumental role in all of this. And I suspect that somebody might be sitting at home, first of all, finding this inspiring, thinking, what wonderful work, and that would be neat to do that. But then also maybe feeling very intimidated by the challenge that we're talking about, especially when it's kind of a wide array of different people who, for various reasons, find themselves in this, and you know, so what do you do to help, you know, so-and-so? And how would I know how to do that? So, first of all, do you seek out a particular kind of person when you are looking for tutors? I mean, what sort of basics are essential for being a successful tutor?
Free time. We need free time. We don't discriminate. We need free time. Let me just give you a little backdrop. I want to say over the last 6 months, there's been a transition on how we acquire tutors and train them. Before, it was like an 18-hour, your eyes glaze over training session that, you know, it was difficult. So what we've done is it also precluded us from getting people off our wait list, quickly. So what we did, we actually streamlined the tutor training process, and as a result, we do it in segments. So every time you come in, you get a segment of training, you get another segment of training as needed. Because if you gave someone 18 hours of training, what's going to happen is that 12th hour of training that they had, they're not going to remember that. And so you really would have to go back and reteach them that portion of the training. So we have it broken down into segments. And then also this allows us to, again, decrease our waiting list, which has gone down to, 25% to 30%, and right now we're probably looking at maybe a 30-day wait list where we had pretty much about a 4 or 5 month wait.
Wow.
So we're trying to get down to single digits. We're almost there.
Wow.
So now, as a result, we are actually have more students coming in and applying, and so you don't have that long wait list moving forward.
That's a good thing for sure. Cheryl, how about at the Kenosha Literacy Council?
We have about 200 volunteers who last year gave 16,000 hours, provided 16,000 hours of instruction to our students. So absolutely, we could not do what we do without the help of volunteers. They're the most vital component of our program. And folks a lot of times assume they must need some special skills. They must be a teacher or speak another language. And as Stephen said, that's not the case. All you need to have is a willingness to help and a couple hours of free time, and we will find a spot for you to help us. So we provide a training so that you feel comfortable working with the students without having that teaching background. So many, many of our volunteers were not teachers or are not teachers. They don't speak another language. In fact, if you do speak another language, we won't let you speak it when you're working with students anyways. They're there to learn English.
Right.
And we also, have made changes to our tutor training process so that it is more volunteer friendly. So years ago, it was that long face-to-face training that took many hours of time. And we absolutely want to make sure our volunteers are prepared to work with students, but we also want to do it in a way that is meaningful and doesn't take, you know, a year out of your life.
Right.
So one of the things that we've done is we've added an online component to our training, so volunteers are able to do a lot of the training on their own time at home online. So that's been a really helpful way for us to get more volunteers through the door.
Very good. Is it tricky to balance this core mission of the one-on-one tutoring and the class-setting tutoring that is really focused on literacy in the most classic sense of the word, you know, teaching people how to read and write, basically, versus some of these other things that are also so tremendously important? I mean, like driver's ed and parenting skills and all kinds of things that bring in other matters. Is it a challenge to balance all of that and to figure out what to add into the mix that's not, in a sense, going to dilute the main thing that you do? Or are they all equally important, and is it that not a concern at all?
I think the programs that we do at the Literacy Council in Kenosha are all equally important. So those special programs, those things that help folks talk in the community, help the students stay motivated and see why they're coming to English class. So it helps them see the purpose behind why they're learning. And it relates it back to a goal that they need to achieve. Whereas just coming to a tutoring session to work on reading and writing and let's write some sentences and work on grammar, it can lose its focus. It can, but when we can tie in some of those health literacy things and computer literacy and how can I write a resume, and all that helps connect them with, here's an immediate goal I have and I can reach. And so I think it's all very important, and it all ties together with how our students can learn to be active members of our community.
Hmm. Does that make sense to you also, Steve?
Yes. What we see here at the Racing Literacy Council is basically we ask them what their goals are. What do they want to accomplish? And as Cheryl said, everything is relevant, whether it's the 300 students that we deal with on an annual basis or it's the 125-plus tutors that we have, you know, at the Racing Literacy Council. We have that core message, and we have the core training, and we also have the core programs. But then also, how do you elevate that? You ask the learners, what would you like to accomplish? What is it that you would like to do? And what we've seen lately is we are trying to get buy-in from some of the business owners because they have that need for employable individuals, the employability factor. And so how can the Racine Literacy Council make that connection to the employers where they have buy-in? Kind of our next phase would be, you know, tapping on the shoulders of businesses to say, hey, could you let your employee out for an hour to come to the Literacy Council in order to get the training? Because it's going to benefit you in the long run, Mr. Employer. And so those are some of the things that we're looking at. And then just how can we have a well-rounded program, you know, overall.
Right. Well, I certainly applaud all that both agencies offer to the community. It's really kind of staggering. And, of course, we hope that people are inspired to think about making this a part of their own lives. If someone is listening who needs to access some of these resources, or if someone is listening and sees themselves as perhaps becoming a tutor. And also there are other ways, of course, including financial, in which people can support your important missions. I know each of you have upcoming fundraising events that you want to mention. Steve, let's talk about yours first because it's coming up soon.
Yes, we have our Celtic Night for Literacy event coming up March 4th. We have entertainment, Tallymore Band, and we have from Milwaukee. And then we also have Irish Encounter, which is a local ensemble that'll be playing. Mm-hmm. For entertainment. We have a raffle, a trip to Nova Scotia, as well as an opportunity to win a 50-inch smart TV, as well as a $250 gift card to Southwest Airlines.
Wow.
So
I've been to this event several times, and it's so much fun. And of course, if you're a fan of corned beef and cabbage,
then this is
an exciting night for you. The date again is
March 4th. It's from 5:30 to 9, and it's being held at the Delta Racine Architect and Hotel Conference Center, which was formerly known as the Racine Marriott.
Very good. And we'll give your website address in just a second if people want more information. Cheryl, your organization's big fundraiser is coming up a little bit later, and it's an event I've also been to and enjoyed very much.
Right. So we have an annual spelling bee every year, and this year is set for Friday, April 8th. And the theme this year is Hollywood Buzz. And so we'll have lots of Hollywood red carpet and things like that. It'll be lots of fun. It's a different spin on a spelling bee where local businesses and organizations put together teams of adults to come and compete in a spelling competition. And so we really try to make it a lot of fun by incorporating a theme every year. There's a great silent auction and raffle prizes. And it's really a lot of fun. And, of course, all of the proceeds go back to the Literacy Council, so an important cause.
Very good. So your website address is?
KenoshaLit.org. So Kenosha, L-I-T dot O-R-G.
Very good. And Steve?
www.racineliteracy.com.
Very good. Steve Musenden is the Executive Director of the Racine Literacy Council. Cheryl Hernandez, Executive Director of the Kenosha Literacy Council. My very, very sincere thanks to both of you, not just for being here on the morning show, but for the very important work that you and all of your staff members and volunteers do on behalf of so many people in the community. And we hope that you go on to do more and more great things on behalf of people here in southeastern Wisconsin. And I thank you for being here on the morning show to tell your important stories.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Good to have you here. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. The program is archived at WGTD.org. Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support for the morning show also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. Partly sunny skies, mild conditions, very windy, gusts up to 50 miles per hour today with a high of 59 degrees. Continued very windy tonight with a low of 38 degrees. Sunny tomorrow, a little calmer with a high of 49 degrees. A good chance of rain on Sunday with a high of 43. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake